Good afternoon, and welcome to the, 4th of July weekend edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis. Don't adjust your dial. This is not David Taffet. It's me. That's why the voice sounds different. David Taffet is off this week, a much-needed break. I think he's gone for the next 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
And so is Patty. She'll be back next week, but she's off this week. So you got me and, of course, my always trusty producer, Clint Atchley. Thank you so much for being here, Clint.
No problem. I won't be here next week, though.
So I'm going to have to do something.
You and Patty will have to figure it out.
Okay. We actually do have a guest scheduled today, but I think she's running a little late. So hopefully she'll be here by the time of the second half of the show. And that is the one and only City Curvin. Hope you're on your way, City. But there's a lot to talk about this week. And, of course, it has to do with the Supreme Court and all of the repercussions in just this short time since the rulings. Has it even been a full 2 weeks?
I don't think so.
I
think Thursday was just 1 week, wasn't it?
You're actually right. It was because we talked about it last Saturday, which was 2 days after. So you're right. Not even a week and a half, a full week and a half. So, as expected, a lot of things, some positive repercussions will come out of the Supreme Court rulings. You know, they struck down DOMA and they threw out Prop 8 on technical grounds. They had no standing. One of the immediate reactions from the rulings is a Michigan judge has allowed a same-sex couple to proceed with their lawsuit suing to overturn Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage.
Which is something I would imagine you'll start seeing across the country.
I think you will. Now, how far it will go, because the Supreme Court rulings really didn't say anything about state DOMAs. But they're going to use it anyway. Another positive repercussion of it was a gay couple in New York became the first gay couple to receive a green card.
Well, there you go.
A green card. Because just like straight people, when an American citizen marries someone of a foreign person, and they can stay because they're married to an American citizen. Well, this couple was legally married in that state, and now because DOMA has been thrown out.
Part of DOMA.
Thank you. I love it. The straight guy knows better than I do. No, he's right. The part of DOMA was thrown out, which was the federal part. State DOMAs are still very much legal. So,
right.
Yeah. But here's one of the interesting things that's come out of, and I'm trying not to laugh because it's so silly, repercussions that's come out of the Supreme Court's ruling. The Paula Deen case. Now, I have very, very specific opinions about this Paula Deen stuff, but I never thought it would take a same-sex gay turn. And of course, just like everything, it has. Paula Deen, in case you don't know, the famous, well, she's not a chef, but a cook.
I would use that term loosely.
Ooh, okay. Everybody knows, oh, good old Southern Paula Deen. She has been charged with racial discrimination lawsuit, and this firestorm took off when she admitted under deposition that she did use the N-word, and she's been her sponsors and have been dropping her like hot potatoes.
And she got fired from Food Network.
She got fired from Food Network. Walmart dropped her. Target has dropped her. There's been several others. Some of them I didn't even know that had contracts with Paula Deen.
I have a little bit of two-facedness with some of those companies, though.
Well, we can get to that. But here's the gay turn. Paula Deen's attorneys are claiming that because of the Prop 8 ruling, which threw out the ban on same-sex marriage in California, that her attorneys are trying to use that as a defense of this racial discrimination lawsuit against Paula Deen. Now, here's something that the media has not, I don't think they've done a very good job in.
Is it because of the standing thing?
Exactly, the standing. They're saying that the woman who's filing a lawsuit doesn't have standing.
They're saying she was not directly harmed by this.
Exactly, because she's white. A lot of people don't realize this. The woman who has filed this racial discrimination, and it's a sexual harassment lawsuit also, against Paula Deen and her company, is white. I think a lot of people just assume it was somebody black. And they're saying she doesn't have standing because some of the racial, supposedly racial epithets that Paula Deen and her brother use were against black people, and they're saying, well, she doesn't have standing because she's not black. I think that's ridiculous. I think that's ridiculous. So, I want to know, should gay people be offended by her use of trying to, of even trying to use the Prop 8 ruling? And two, did her attorneys pass the state bar? I mean, there's no way this is going to hold.
I mean, you grasp it. But I think even last week when you guys were talking about this, David hinted at the idea that, hey, that's significant. And it's going to have repercussions. And this is some of the repercussions. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole point of the case of Prop 8. It almost became, let's forget about same-sex marriage. This is more important about who has standing. And that and the way that standing is determined. And just because it is just so happened to be about gay rights doesn't change the fact that standing is what had been determined. And they will use that everywhere now.
You're absolutely right. I mean, standing is nothing new. But what the Supreme Court said is that a private citizens could not take the place of the government, because in the specific California case, they were sued when the ban was passed by a voter initiative. They sued to overturn that. They won. And the state, who was supposed to defend that law, chose not to. So a group of regular citizens like you and I, Clint, went and tried to replace the state. And the Supreme Court said, no, they've never done that, and they're not going to start now. So they did not have standing. So they are, Paula Deen's attorneys are trying to say that, okay, she doesn't have standing because she wasn't, because she's not black. I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either, but I think you're going to see it in a lot of lawsuits now.
Yeah, I think that's a gross misinterpretation of what standing is. I mean,
well, that's the legal system.
That's the legal system. I mean, just because
they think that they found a loophole and they will abuse it until someone closes it up and they find a new one.
And I think you're absolutely right, Clint. Yeah, they will abuse it. Now it's not, this case is going on, I think, in Georgia, and yeah, and so the judge hasn't said if he's going to throw out, because that's what they want. They want that part of the lawsuit. Again, it's a combined lawsuit. It's a racial discrimination lawsuit and a sexual harassment lawsuit. They want the racial part of it thrown out, and the judge hasn't said either way if he's going to take that.
Now, it's interesting that it's also a woman suing on sexual harassment,
yes,
against another woman.
Yes. Now that has been determined legal, and that has nothing to do with sexual orientation. If you've ever taken a sexual harassment class, which most companies prefer require you to take, you know, you watch a stupid video.
Yeah, right.
But when you first get hired, it clearly says a man can sexually harass another man, and a woman can sexually harass another woman, and it has nothing to do with sexual orientation. It's just that I could be making sexual comments and you're offended by it.
Right, right.
You know, it's as simple as that. So I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. And, you know, Paula Deen, she's taking a lot of heat for this because of the use of the N-word, supposedly 30 plus years ago. But I think
I heard it was in the 80s.
In the 80s, yeah. A long time ago, nonetheless. Yeah. And I think what's upsetting to me is that people aren't really, you know, because you see on Facebook, this constant support Paula Deen, support Paula Deen, support Paula Deen.
I know, I've been getting a lot of that.
Lot of those. And, you know, and I don't have a problem with you supporting Paula Deen. That's fine. I will readily admit, I actually like Paula Deen. I like her show. I've used her recipes. I like her Southern personality. But I'm not going to run and defend her because I don't know what she did on the job. And this lawsuit is not about her use of the N-word back in the 80s. Right. And well, I wish people would take the time and read what the actual complaints are. And they are, I mean, some of the things that she's been accused of, let me stress that, it's just an accusation now, they are egregious. You know, I mean, she's accused of having her white employees and black employees use separate restrooms, you know, use separate entrances, promoting the white ones, not the black ones. And this is modern day. I mean,
right.
Like, oh, wow.
Well, and the thing that was being talked about around the Kano in office this week was she recently planned a wedding for her brother, I think it was.
Yes.
And it was a plantation-themed wedding.
Yes.
And literally had black people dressed up as slaves for the wedding.
Yes.
So it's not like, okay, yeah, you made a comment in the 80s.
You're right.
But let's be real here.
Thank you, Clint. Thank you. It's like, yeah, I mean, you hit it on the nose. I mean, this is not about her use of the N-word back in the 80s. I could care less about that. But these are modern-day accusations. Again, if they're true, I'm sorry. I don't blame the Food Network for dropping her. I don't blame Walmart and these other companies that are dropping her. Now, I guess I have a problem with the other side of the coin is, you know, maybe they should have waited to see what the outcome was. You know,
I always think that, I mean, this is America. We did put in the Constitution, you know, guilt or innocent
until proven guilty. Absolutely.
But every time someone famous like this messes up, it's, oh, we're going to immediately shun you.
Exactly.
And what I was saying earlier, my problem with these companies is, okay, you're dropping her because she said the N-word. Are you pulling every CD off your shelf that has the N-word in it, too? Are you pulling every movie that you sell, every book that you sell? I mean, it seems like you're still making money off the N-word.
But I think the companies aren't pulling off just because of the N-word. I think they have read the complaints, and I guess they believe them. I don't know. I don't know.
They're just afraid of being guilty by association.
I think the companies are kind of in a lose-lose situation here because let's say this does go before the court. The jury does find her guilty of these charges. And then they drop her. Well, then you're going to have some people, some African-American or minorities who are going to complain that these companies should have fired her in the first place.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and then they may get protested. And I think they're trying to avoid that. I think there's kind of in a lose-lose situation here. I think they're really just trying to CYA.
Yeah. And again, I go back to, I know for a fact I can walk into Target and pick up a CD by a white artist that he will use the N-word in.
Yeah.
And they're making money off of it. So how is that? I mean, you can go in there and pick up a book that's racially insensitive or against a certain group.
Of course you can.
And they're making money off of it. So why is that stuff not banned?
I think that's because that's a work of art. And you choose to buy that or read that or listen to that or watch that, whereas this is on these accusations are in the job place. I think that's the difference. I don't know. Everyone, you know, and you know, part of this lawsuit is, you know, this has created an overall hostile work environment,
right?
According to this woman, and no one should have to work under that. Again, I'm not saying these accusations are true. I'm just telling you what the lady has accused Paula Deen of. Who knows how this is going to turn out? You know, I guess if there's any credit to give Paula Deen, and that is she is fighting. Because she could have easily settled out of court.
Yeah.
She could have settled out of court with this. And I read a lot of blogs, and they say, yeah, why come you just haven't settled this?
Yeah. Well, and there's no fake apology either.
No.
I get real tired of the celebrity fake apologies.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
How about a page out of my crazy book? You're talking about money. This is believe me, a video. I don't know if it's not on camera or there.
Oh yeah.
Talk about money. The people in California didn't have standing. How about all the people who couldn't get married? Is there a reversal lawsuit available here?
I hadn't heard of that, but that's kind of an interesting idea. I mean, I don't know who they would sue.
Sue the people that were suing the government.
I don't know. I don't know who they would sue, but that is interesting. I mean, what was it? See,
I think they would have to sue the state, but they would probably not have standing because it was the state that didn't kind of step in and.
Yeah, well, the state declined to defend the law in the first place, so the state was somewhat on their side.
But the people who had prevented the other people from getting married.
Right. I guess they could sue them for, I guess, some civil damages. I mean, I don't know how far it would go.
Yeah.
But, But that is an idea. We'll see what happens. What was so crazy about it in the first place when they even the California law, when they did the vote to put the ban in their constitution, is that it let the same-sex marriages that had already taken place, it let those stand. So you had about, I think it was 10 to 15,000 same-sex couples married, and they're legal, but then no one else could get married. Yet they're claiming somehow that the allowing same-sex marriage was going to damage their heterosexual marriages. It just didn't make any sense. So
it's California.
It's California, exactly. It's like, why didn't you just invalidate all those marriages? Were you going to let those stand? Okay.
They're the most Democrat state in the country, and they elected a Republican governor because
yes,
he...
did. What, because it's a movie star?
He said, I'll be back, I guess. I don't know.
You know, on that note, in California, anybody can, like, run for governor. I mean, I think Gary Coleman ran for governor.
Well, and if you remember back when Arnold ran the first time, they had had a recall election of their governor.
They did.
And, like, 30 people ran.
Yeah. Because literally anybody can go get on. I mean... Yeah. Here, I don't know what the process is, but I think it's a little more difficult to actually get your name on a ballot.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Paula Deen. But you said you came across some other news about her this morning.
Well, yeah. Let me see if I can pull that up. She has been found that someone has been trying to extort her for $250,000, and that person has been, I guess, arrested.
Oh.
So, well, she's got it coming and going, I guess.
Yes. Well, if you saw her interview on Matt Lauer, which she talked about her use of the N-word, again, 20, 30-plus years ago, she said that this whole lawsuit was about someone trying to get something out of her. Now, I don't know if she's referring to this, but it does kind of play into her argument.
Right. And, I mean, if one person is, you know, when you're famous, you're a target.
You're always going to be a target.
Yeah. And so anyone at any point in time can feel slighted about anything and decide, hey, I'm either going to try to blackmail you out of this or I'm going to take you to court. This was more, when they used the word extort, more of the blackmail side of things.
Right.
So... you know, maybe this person knew about what was going on and was using it against her, like trying to get some money out of her instead of taking her to court, and then someone else felt slighted and actually took her to court.
Good theory. Now, if you were Paula Deen and you had this much money, I mean, she's loaded. Would you just have settled this?
I would have. Yeah. We're going to go to break.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these. In Dallas, local partners and national nonprofit Connect to Compete have made available for residents digital skills training classes. Classes include basic internet searching, internet basics, computer basics, and more. Local residents are also eligible for programs that provide assistance for internet service and computers. For more information on internet classes at local libraries, their phone number is 1-855-387-9166 or on the web at everyoneon.org. This program is in partnership with Dallas Area Libraries, Connect to Compete, and the Ad Council.
When they're gone for good. This is Scott from KNON's Texas Blues Radio telling you don't miss out on some great blues. KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 Blues CD. It's a CD put together by real blues fans for real blues fans like you. Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 features great local blues from Michael J. and the Paul Board Band, J.J. and the Detonators, the Chris Watson Band, the Two Tones, Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone with Charlie Love, Dave Millsap, Sirloin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Tutu Jones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Collie, and Johnny Red and the Roosters. Get a copy now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records. This is a Dallas Blues collector's item. A very limited amount of vinyl copies can be found at Forever Young Records, the sponsor of this great blues project. CD downloads are available at cdbaby.com. Whether you get it as a download, on vinyl, or on CD, all the proceeds will benefit KNON. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit KNON.org.
this is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
There we are. Welcome back to the Lambda Weekly Show. I'm Laurent Landis here with Clint Atchley, our KNON producer. David Taffet is off for the weekend, and so is Patty Fink. He'll be actually gone next week also. Patty will be back to join me next week.
As much as David normally has to say, how is it that he picked an intro song that is so long?
I don't know. I mean, he loves it. I would be glad if we changed it. Okay, please fill us in.
He's giving it on the air to give Patty enough time to get here.
You know what? That makes sense. That's hence the name of the late Patty Fink. Okay.
But
okay.
Still.
But still,
man.
Yeah, it's long. I'm going to do a little entertainment news right now. First off, we want to give a very big and heartfelt congratulations to our very own David Taffet for being chosen as this year's recipient of the Kuklin Humanitarian Award. Now, the Kuklin Humanitarian Award is probably one of the biggest honors you can get here locally in the GLBT community. It's presented each year at the Black Tie Dinner. It's given to individuals who have made extraordinary gifts and time and of their talents on behalf of the GLBT community. The award is named in honor of the late Raymond Kuklin. He's a leading activist in the Dallas GLBT community. David not only has hosted the show for, God, I think 20 years now, very long. He's also a staff writer at the Dallas Voice, and he's being honored for his overall diligent dedication and giving a voice to the LGBT community dating back to the late 80s. So congratulations, David. I know you were really surprised, but you very much deserve it. And because of it, I'll probably be going to the Black Tie Dinner for the very first time ever just to see you get this award. I've never been because it costs too much.
Well, that can be an issue.
Yeah, I'm a poor dad, so I'll have to save my pennies.
Which, I saw a picture of your daughter for the first time this week. She's very cute.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I thought... Oh, sorry, when she was first born, you weren't here.
No, I've only been here a year and a half.
That's right. Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll have to bring her up here so she can talk your ear off. How old is your youngest son?
He will be 2 at the end of the month.
Okay, and then your oldest son?
He's 3 and a half.
Okay, so he's just a little younger than my daughter, so... We'll have to arrange a play date. All right, as expected, many California gay and lesbian couples either immediately signed up to get hitched after the Supreme Court's ruling on Prop 8, or they made plans to do so soon after, such as the It celebrity gay male couple, Neil Patrick Harris, and his partner, David Burka. Now, the couple, they've been together for 7 years, and they have 2 children, and are hoping to tie the knot as soon as possible, but they got a problem. They don't know whether to do it in New York or California. They have houses in both.
Right. I think they spend most of their time in New York, though.
I think you're right.
And I think their kids are twins, right?
You know,
I'm fairly certain they are, because they always release a Halloween picture every year. Because
They do
like a family theme event.
Well, see, I think they are twins, but then I saw an interview where they were saying they're not even for sure who's the biological dad.
Okay.
So... And I think maybe one is one of each. I'm not for sure, but they do look alike.
Yeah.
They do look alike. So they don't know if they want to do an East Coast or a West Coast wedding, but, you know, hey, that's a good problem to have.
Now, I don't know if you saw this or not, but it's having issues on, or it's affecting a lot of heterosexual couples that have been waiting for this to be allowed for their gay friends to get married. Like Kristen Bell and her boyfriend, Dax Shepard, who just recently had a baby together. She proposed to him over social media this week saying, hey, we've been waiting on this. Can we finally get married now?
No, I hadn't heard that.
And then another big celebrity couple that everyone's kind of waiting on is Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Now, that one I did know about. They did say that they would not get married until marriage equality was legal everywhere. So I don't know if they'll ever actually still do it, though.
I
I think they kind of like it the way it is.
I don't know. I think from what I heard in an interview, Angelina Jolie wants to.
Oh, really?
And is expecting Brad to pop the question.
Oh, really?
But it has not happened yet. But so, yeah, but Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard were another couple doing the same thing. And so she asked him if they could finally get married. And So the ripples are out there.
It is starting the ripple effect. In some other news, if straight celebrities like J-Lo, Elizabeth Taylor, and Larry King can marry multiple times. I didn't know this. I looked it up. But Larry King's been married 8 times.
8 times, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he has a kid with the last wife.
I know, and he's like 70-something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And here I am worried about having another kid at 40. So.
I'm 29 and done.
I hear you. But anyway, if those straight couples are going to get married multiple times, why can't a gay one get married multiple times, such as singer Melissa Etheridge, who also announced hours after the Supreme Court ruling that she intends to marry her partner, Linda Whalum. She's the creator and executive producer of the Showtime show, Nurse Jackie. Good show. Now, if Melissa follows through with this marriage, it will technically be her first, but she has been in 2 long-term relationships, and she has kids with both of them. So,
now, the other thing that I found interesting was pretty much right around the ruling as mm-hmm. well, Ellen DeGeneres filed for divorce.
No!
Yeah.
No.
Where did you hear that?
I saw it on Yahoo.
That's got to be a joke.
No.
That other voice is CD. Hey, welcome,
CD. How you doing?
We'll get you in a second. But no, that's got to be a joke.
I don't know, but I did see the story.
We'll have to follow up on that. Yes, if you can find it, because I just refuse to believe that one. And last, former NBA player Tim Hardaway caused a big public backlash back in 2007 when he admitted during an interview that he hated. He used the word hated. He hated gay people and that he was homophobic shortly after NBA player John Amici came out publicly as a gay man. Now, Tim, he used to play for the Miami Heat, did apologize for his remarks and apologized to go to counseling and change. Now, fast forward 6 years later, he seems to have done that. He's been a big-time LGBT advocate ever since, and he became the first person to sign a petition to allow same-sex marriage in the state of Florida. He wants to get it on the ballot by 2014, and he's done a lot of speeches around supporting gay and lesbian youth and athletes. So I guess he is a changed man. Now, the campaign has to get more than 680 signatures for registered voters to get a chance to get on the ballot. So good to him. I mean, do you know anything? I know you like basketball. You know much about Tim Hardaway?
Just as a has-been. No,
that
I mean...
About sums it up.
Yeah, I mean, he will probably be a Hall of Famer, but yeah. There's so many of them.
There are.
And the weird thing about basketball, more than any other sport, is you get compared to the standard. And the standard is Michael Jordan, and how did you... How did you fare against that?
You're absolutely right.
And, yeah. And you know, he's way down the totem pole.
Yeah.
But he
yeah.
probably will still be a Hall of Famer, but...
I just find it interesting how you can go from one extreme to the other. You know, here's this man was saying that he hated gay people. Now, 6 years later, he is very supportive of us.
People change.
People change. I guess people really can change and grow. So, yeah. Good for him. She's an author. She's an incredible artist, an unapologetic activist, and she was Dallas Voices 2012 Person of the Year. And she's here, CeeDee Kervin. Welcome, baby.
Hey, how you doing? I'm still shaking from that Ellen divorce thing.
Well, we're gonna let Clint do some research on it. I have not heard that. So we've just been talking about, you know, one of the reasons why we called you back, CeeDee, is, of course, we want to get your take on the historic rulings last week, Prop 8 and the DOMA cases. And there was a lot of rallies that took place around the country after the news. One was here in the in Dallas, which you orchestrated, so helped orchestrate. Tell me, how was that?
It was awesome. I was so proud of Dallas, I didn't know what to do. Get Equal Texas with my partner in crime, Daniel Cates. We rallied, celebrated by the Legacy of Love Monument on Cedar Springs, and from the, all reports, we've got over 500 people. And we know for Dallas, that's
a lot.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot.
And just celebrating, you know, not just, you know, all the hard work, you know, people are involved with Get Equal or the Human Rights Campaign or the National Task Force, National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, just all the hard work people have done over the years, like Harvey Milk and all the activists that came before us. We wanted to, you know, they're not here to celebrate that, but we wanted to celebrate it on their behalf.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the interesting things is there was all these celebrations around the country, and the ruling, especially here in Texas, really doesn't affect us.
No, no.
So, but, or does it?
Well,
or does it?
Well, if you are legally married in another state, the federal benefits you do receive. So, friends of mine that are also associated with Get Equal, Mark and Dante Reed Walkup, they are legally married. So, since the ruling, they will be able to benefit from the federal side. Of course, you know, the privilege from the states that other couples, LGBT couples, receive, they won't be able to receive. So we still have some fighting to do here in Texas.
Absolutely. And Clint, you found a little something about how the ruling is going to change just from private companies. It's going to have to change some of their benefits.
Yeah, well, because it's recognized on a federal level, companies are now expected in states that allow same-sex marriage, if you're a company based in that state, you have to now allow benefits the same way you would a heterosexual couple.
Okay.
The question in the gray area is national companies. What do they do? Because most national companies want uniform rules for all employees across the board, regardless of what state they live in, as best as they can.
As best they can, right.
And so it's, well, this state doesn't recognize it, this state does. How do we work all that out? And so a lot of companies right now are kind of struggling and trying to figure out how the gears are going to move and stuff with this new ruling.
That is going to be interesting, and particularly for those of us who do live in states that do not recognize same-sex marriage. Because I used to work for a company that was based in California. This is way before, I think, any same-sex marriage was legal. But they did offer domestic partnership benefits. And because they were based in California, I was still able to put Danny on my insurance. But now that Texas has a law that says no, anything that even is similar to marriage won't be recognized, it's going to be kind of a cluster. You know what? It's just, this is not the last we've heard of this. They're going to have to hammer this out.
No. I mean, they added it to the state constitution. So since they added to the state constitution that marriage is defined between a man and a woman, basically, with state laws, which are county laws, where that's how you apply for a marriage license.
It is.
So that applies to state law. But those who have gone to other states and gotten married, they'll be able to enjoy the federal benefits, but they won't be able to do anything that is connected to the county or the state.
Right.
We have an uphill battle, and as a result, we have a lot of people doing pro se and filings across the country saying, okay, it's not in my state. I want to try to get it in my state, which is, I think, is a little preemptive, because if you're pro se and you don't have any legal background, you need to be careful about filing pro se lawsuits against the state to try to get marriage legalized in your state. There are organizations like the ACLU and Lambda Legal that, if you want to pursue that avenue, I know now we're free. We feel like this is what we've been waiting a lifetime for.
Exactly.
So everybody's excited, but calm down a little bit and discuss this with a legal organization before you file.
Or at least a single attorney.
Right.
Because you're right. Pro se, you know, means representing yourself. You could really go do some damage.
Right. You could do more harm than good.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you don't know the legal, you know, pushback that the state, I mean, they have tons of attorney on retainer, and you're pro se, you know, they could knock it out of the court, and then you could ruin the chance.
Not just for you, but others.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, calm down.
Yeah, calm down, please.
And when you consider most state representatives were lawyers.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, they're going to outmaneuver you.
Yeah, they will. And they will.
And in a state like Texas, where it's so important to the state legislators, they're going to know the ins and outs of that more than average common citizen will ever.
Now,
keep going.
Okay, yeah, my mic went out. But you know what I want to know is, if you're, because I'm legally married in another state.
Right.
But do I have to, do we have to file joint?
You
on our federal, you on our federal benefits.
Yeah, look, you can't escape it. Now you have rights. You are forced to abide by.
Actually, I don't mind if we do, but I'm just kind of so used to doing it. This is going to be really interesting.
You'll get more back.
What if I file a joint?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. And well, you know what's really good is having a kid.
If it wasn't a good thing, do you think they would have been fighting for it as hard?
Yeah, they would have.
That's true.
Have, though, because it is a society kind of validation, because so many laws and benefits are attached to marriage.
Yeah,
even if it was, I think, you know, with the 70% divorce rate, should we be fighting for it anyway?
Right.
It does open a can of worms. I mean, you look at, like, Colorado legalizing marijuana.
And the state of Washington.
I mean, they still can't figure out how much weed you can smoke and still be able to drive. I mean, they haven't legally been able to sell anything, and that law's been on the books since November.
Right.
The ripple effects of this are just now being felt, and I think these national companies having to deal with that, that's just the first step in many dominoes that are going to be falling.
You know, for the longest time, David has been saying, since this whole marriage, same-sex marriage argument has developed, you know, David has been saying this is going to be settled through taxes, and it looks like he's going to be right. This is going to be settled about taxes, you know, and that's what the big thing was. Well, kind of a big thing was in the Doma case. This woman's partner, or her wife, legally married wife,
Edie,
passed away, and because federal laws did not recognize her marriage, she had to pay X amount of money. I think it was like
over $300,000
in taxes. You know, whereas if they were a heterosexual couple, she wouldn't have had to pay anything. So this is going to it'll be back in the Supreme Court. It will be.
Right, I'm scared of that.
State domas. I don't know how long it took. What, 5 years for just a Prop 8 case to get to the Supreme Court.
Right.
So I think for the state domas to get back to go to the Supreme Court, we probably have another 5-6 years to go.
Well, so they've asked the question to the legal establishment: how long do you think before we have countrywide equality when it comes to marriage equality? And they've said about from 2 to 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I think nationwide at 5 years, that would be. That'd be great, but I
think that's fast.
I think that's fast.
This whole thing has been fast.
This whole thing has been fast. Yeah, it has. It has. And that's a good thing. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with City Curve and more on Lambda Weekly in just a moment.
GoodSearch.com provides a way for you to support nonprofits like KNON with your online shopping and dining. GoodSearch.com offers a downloadable toolbar for searching from your computer called Good App, so your purchases can go to support KNON. With Good Dining, every time you go out to eat at participating restaurants, then a portion of what you spend gets donated to KNON. Registering is easy at GoodSearch.com, and KNON 89.3 is the name to enter in your account settings for charity selection. Support KNON with your online shopping and dining at GoodSearch.com.
All righty, we're back on Lambda Weekly here with Clint Ashley and... we hit a little technical difficulty.
I'm not
here.
Behind the board, so
that's okay.
So someone is learning, and when people learn, things happen. That's probably my bad.
Hey, it's community radio. That's why we love community radio, and we also have City Curve here with us today. One of the other things we want to talk about is, you know, aside from all the marriage news, there are other huge fights that our community is still facing and is just as important, if not more important, than same-sex marriage, and that is the right to work. We've been trying for a while now to get IndePass, and that is called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, because unbeknownst to a lot of people, you can still be fired just for being gay. That is totally legal. If you get fired in the state of Texas, I mean, your boss can tell you to your face, you are fired for being gay. I don't want you here. You have no legal recourse.
Right.
That needs to change.
That does need to change.
Tell us more about that.
Well, it's 36 states that currently still have no workplace protections for LGBT workers or families. And basically, that's a lot of the reason why people are in the closet. People say, come out of the closet and be loud and be proud. But the only problem with that is that if your employer finds out that you're in a same-sex relationship, they can legally fire you. You can't file anything with the EEOC. You can't sue. It is totally legal to fire somebody for being LGBT.
Yes.
And so what we as Get Equal Texas or Get Equal National has tried to do is say, okay, yeah, we take this time to celebrate, but let's also try to get full federal equality by, you know, protecting LGBT workers at the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
We've been pushing for the president to sign the executive order that would, you know, basically cover 20% of the workforce. That's the people that are under federal contract with the federal government. If he signed an INDA executive order, it would protect 20% of the LGBT workforce.
And, you know, we know that Obama's been by far and beyond the gay-friendliest president ever.
That's true.
Ever. But why has he held back on issuing this executive order on this?
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but I think that at this point in our country, we're so pro-business. And I'm not to say that I'm not pro-business, but we are pro-business over workers. And I think if you've looked at even the most recent decisions coming from the Supreme Court, where corporations are people, and then you had this pretty much gutting of voter law, then you'll see. I think all of that is related to being pro-business. So I think President Obama doesn't want to do anything while we're in economic recovery to damage businesses and corporations that are, you know, anti-gay have been telling him, if you establish this law, you will hurt us financially. I think he's trying to weigh both things.
Well, and you also have and I get a lot of this information from Workers Beat, which is on this show, mm-hmm. that covers a lot of this stuff, but his labor board was tossed out, and every decision that board made that he put into place was tossed out in the Supreme Court, because they said that he appointed them during session illegally. He said,
"Oh, I did not know that."
Yeah, so he lost his entire labor board. So there's also that factor that goes into a lot of those labor decisions and things like that for him as well.
I find interesting that we still have not been able to get an INDA passed, yet we did get Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is basically an INDA
for the
military,
right?
I just thought that was next to impossible. So that's one time that the military has gotten ahead of civilian life. I thought that was interesting, and I know that Obama said he could have issued an executive order that ended that lifted Don't Ask, Don't Tell also.
Right.
But his reasoning, which made sense to me, he didn't want to do that because, say, he lost the election. Well, the next president that came in could just easily reinstate it.
Right. They could do that with any executive order.
They think of that with any executive order. So he wanted to do it through the legislative process and get it removed permanently. So I wonder, is that his same thought process with INDA?
It is. I mean, and Barney Frank,
mm-hmm.
has also agreed with him that he doesn't want him to do it in an executive order. But I think just like marriage, I think when he's come out and publicly supported and been for marriage equality, mm-hmm. I think that accelerated kind of our movement. And I think him taking leadership on this issue, especially when he only has two more years to
right.
his presidency,
right.
and there's a very good likelihood that we could end up with a Republican president. And do you think that there would be any chances for that to be passed? I think there's serious concerns whether it could be passed now with a GOP-run Congress.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think the immigration bill is going to get through the Congress. I don't think it is. So.
Well, I definitely don't think IND is going to get through the House. Now, if it got through the House and to the Senate, I think it would pass, but I don't think it's going to get through the House.
Well, have you noticed recently the Senate has been passing things, and then it's going to the House for approval?
It can.
And it used to always be the opposite.
It always used to be the opposite. You're absolutely right.
What I find interesting, and I did not know about, that federal employees didn't have this protection, because my dad is a federal employee in the mm-hmm. state of Texas, and if he were to ever even say anything,
mm-hmm.
he would be fired immediately. And he's a high-ranking federal employee. I remember a story when he was a supervisor, which mm-hmm. is much lower than he is now, that one of his people under him got a gender change. And if they even called that person by her old name, they could be fired.
Wow. Well, you know, I have heard of that. I've heard a mix of some different agencies having sexual orientation or gender identity under their non-discrimination clauses.
Right.
And I think it is based on that agency and whoever's ahead of that agency to establish that.
Right. Right. In other words, people and activists have been pushing from company to company to get this done.
Yes.
And that's basically how we have to do it when we don't have nationwide support from the federal government. You have to understand, if you look on the website, there's a website that says Stop INDA. And I didn't get a chance to opportunity to elaborate on why I think this not passing INDA is pro-business. They believe that lawsuits will occur at, you know, employment discrimination lawsuits. And so there's a lot of reasons why they think INDA is not favorable for business. So I think that's his delay. I think he's always tried to be somewhat fair and measure both sides. He hasn't always just done something because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
I think he's done something because he realizes he's the president of a diverse nation. He's tried to weigh both things. But we're at the tail end of his presidency. He can't be reelected. This is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think if he doesn't see within the next year, you know, the House or the Congress taking leadership on this issue, that he should go ahead and at least protect 20% of the workforce, LGBT workforce.
Yeah, and I've heard of that argument about same-sex or LGBT people should not be included in the workplace protections because that will create more lawsuits. To me, that's just ridiculous. It will create more lawsuits because there's a lot of people out there who've been unfairly fired just because they've acknowledged who they are in the workplace. And those people who have fired them need to be reprimanded.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I've heard that argument. To me, it's just ridiculous. But interestingly enough, I didn't know the exact percentage. Maybe you do. I'm pretty sure HRC does. Most of the Fortune 500 companies do have sexual orientation and gender identity, especially sexual orientation as part of their non-discrimination policy. Now, some of the big ones do not.
Right.
Like Exxon.
Let's not talk about that.
We all here in Dallas-Fort Worth know about Exxon. But most of them do, and I think this is where business, civil businesses, are ahead of the government.
Right.
Because it just makes good business. You know, there's another reason, another way that this, talking about the Prop 8 ruling or the DOMA ruling, how it might affect Texans, and that is this theory that we might start losing good candidates,
right,
who will flee to other states. Now, I can tell you personally, I have just gotten another job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it. Anyway, can't go into specifics of it, but I could have stayed where I was. The money's comparable. But here was the difference. I currently work for the government.
Right.
Where I'm going now offers same-sex domestic partnerships. I can finally put Danny on my insurance.
Right. And that's a big deal.
They have a family plan, and you can put anybody on there. That was an easy choice for me.
Right, and also your children.
My kid. Well, I can do that now, but get us all on one plan, that's a big deal.
Right, a lot of people can't.
A lot of people can't.
If the child is not a product of the person in the relationship.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A lot of people can't put their children,
that's right,
same-sex couples can't put their children on their benefits, mm-hmm, because of all these rules. And here's the thing, there's so much injustice, there's so much inequality when it comes to isolating a person because of who they are.
Right.
And that's the essential part of this argument. We were born this way. This was not a choice. And I think there is where the argument is, because I've heard even a lot of Texas representatives, because we as Get Equal Texas have lobbied with Equality Texas and other organizations, lobbied our individual organizations. Because recently we had a bill before the Texas Congress and Senate called SB 237, which would be the state Texas INDA version of INDA.
Gotcha.
My most recent arrest was in an office.
Recent arrest. I love that. I love it how she so nonchalantly said that. But you know what? We love you for that, CD. When was your first arrest? That's the one in D.C.?
Right. That was when Speaker Pelosi was the Speaker of the House.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And basically what happened was it was four lesbians arrested in her Washington, D.C. office.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Choi chained himself to the White House
fence.
And then we had 13 activists arrested in Speaker Pelosi's San Francisco office. All that went on at the same day.
That's right. It did. It did. So your latest one was here in Texas.
Right. In regards to the SB 237, which would have been the Texas end, which would have protected people in Texas from being fired for being LGBT. So my concern is that we as individuals, it's just like with the marriage, we had a big win. But when you can piecemeal equality like that, the fact that, you know, you and your husband can't enjoy, you know, the same benefits as people in California. And what happens, I think, is that people run the states, LGBT families run the states where they will be fully protected.
Yes. I would run to another state in a heartbeat. Not that it doesn't mean I'm a proud Texan. I love it here. But there's some other states I like too.
Right.
But Danny won't go anywhere. So, but has your dad said ever said that he's ever heard of anybody being fired for that reason or being demoted, not promoted for that reason? It just really wasn't discussed because, you know, there's all kinds of shady, underminded ways you can discriminate against somebody. It doesn't have to be blatant.
You mean for being gay or for speaking out against them?
Being gay, speaking out, anything.
Okay. No one has, in his agency that he has worked with, has ever been demoted or not been promoted because of sexual orientation. It's not something that can absolutely ever be, but many people have been fired for speaking out against them or something like that.
Gotcha.
There was a time where he worked, the head person at his place of employment was a lesbian individual and was very outspoken about it, and ended up getting fired because she was so outspoken about it.
Yeah.
Not because of the outspokenness of it, but because of what she was saying to other employees that made them feel uncomfortable. So they're very...
Gotcha.
Like, and you know, it stays out of the workplace completely,
right.
kind of thing.
I mean, either way, regardless of how you feel about anything, you don't want to create a hostile work environment.
Right. Because any discrimination is wrong. Basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I've known, you know, hundreds of people fired for being LGBT. You know, I mean, and what's strange about that kind of discrimination is it's usually not underhanded or shady, because it doesn't. They don't have to really hide the fact that they're firing you because of that.
Absolutely.
They can come out and say, oh, that picture, that's your family? Oh, I disagree with that. You need to pack your bags and go.
Absolutely.
What I find is that's what I find is so unusual and so different about, you know, racial or sexual or ageism kind of discrimination at the workplace. Mm-hmm. Usually they're very blunt with it.
Very, very.
Yeah.
Oh, and, you know, guys, there's this awful story that came out about just a couple of months ago. This woman, lesbian, had worked for a school, I think it was a Catholic school, for 20-plus years. She had been in a relationship with another woman for 20-plus years, never mentioned it on the work, on the job, kept it to herself, kept, you know, she was closeted at work, in other words. Her mother-in-law, somebody on her partner's side, passed away, and in the obituary, they mentioned her. Somebody at work read that in a paper, saw that, figured out that is such and such's partner, the school fired her.
Exactly. I've
Simply
heard of
because
it.
Of that.
Yeah, I heard that.
That is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
So it's not even like she was at work parading around, hey, I have a wife or a partner or whatever. No, she totally kept it to herself. They found out about it in an obituary and got fired. You can't tell me that's right.
It's wrong. It's definitely wrong. And the problem is that you have a lot of state representatives in Texas that says, well, why would you want to be gay at work? There's no reason for that to come up. That's just like saying, why are you being black at work? I mean, why are you being a woman at work?
Why are you being a woman at work? Well, here's the one I like. Well, why do they have to flaunt it? Well, how is putting a picture of my daughter and my husband on my desk flaunting it?
Right.
You do it.
It's actually proud.
Yeah.
You're proud
of
your
my family.
Yeah.
You know, at work, I see, and now I can do that at work. I guess I'm lucky where I work. I can do that, even at the government place I work. But I know everybody's not so fortunate to do that. But just about everybody on their screensaver has a picture of their wife or their husband, their children, whatever, or their dog, whatever they have. Why can't I do it? How is that flaunting it?
Well, to me, it's just un-American.
Yeah.
It's just un-American. And if you... I mean, a lot of the arguments about the founding forefathers wouldn't have liked to see two gay men marrying or two women marrying. If you read the Constitution, it's very clear. And once on CNN, what really hit home for me is when I heard a constitutional lawyer say, when they asked him, was it illegal to discriminate against gay people? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the forefathers would have foreseen, you know, gay being open and being married, or women are the same. And he says, when you have to add something, then it's discrimination.
Right.
Dhamma was added.
Yes, it was. It was not there before.
So exactly. That should tell you the legalities of this situation.
Right.
So basically, my point of view is that maybe not come out at work, because I know that you can lose your livelihood. Because if you can't support your family, that's what INDA is about for me. It's about survival.
Yeah, everybody, every man and woman who has not broken any laws, I think has the right to work.
Right.
Everybody.
I mean,
you got to support yourself. Because if we can't work, then you're on government assistance, and then we know the backlash about that. Oh, you're just, you know, you're lazy, you don't want to work.
Right.
I mean, come in, which is it?
I don't know. You know, I'm very confused about our current public representatives. I mean, just like with the recent, abortion issues. I mean, they get in office, and they want to shove their religion or their morals down your throat.
Now, were you down there when Wendy made the big stink, and kind of her name is now everybody knows her name?
Right. I was, you know, where there's a protest, that's you can find.
Of course.
If you can't find CD anywhere, go to a protest, and I'll probably be there.
She'll be there.
Yeah, but I just think it's ridiculous. What I think this was for a lot of people was a wake up call.
Yeah.
We don't pay attention to what's going on down there.
And real quick, tell people, because we're running out of time, but what was that about, that abortion bill?
Basically, it would have closed 38 of the 42 abortion clinics, and it would have restricted abortion to only 20 weeks.
So you'd have up to 20 weeks of pregnancy to get an abortion. After that, you can't.
Right. And then also, you would have it would have closed 38 of the 42 abortion clinics, which means only 4 abortion clinics will remain in the state of Texas.
So,
period.
Yeah, so that's a roundabout way of basically outlawing abortion.
Exactly.
Right. So, well, we're just about out of time. And thank you so much, CD. Did you want to chime? Oh, we got some Charo.
There she is. That's my way of producing without producing.
Thank you, CD, so much for coming to join us today.
No, thank you for inviting me.
And for those listening, thank you for spending an hour with us. And please join us again next week on Lambda Weekly. Okay. Oh,